And we're joined now by Dick Van Grunsven, Mr. RV himself. Dick, welcome back to Oshkosh.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me up.
Yeah, we've actually shared a couple of interviews during anniversaries of the RV, and it just keeps on going and going.
Yeah, I somehow or another found my way back to this stage, so good to be here.
Good. Tell us a little bit about those who don't know. What is your background, and how did you come to build that or design that first RV?
Well, the background is, I don't know if you'd call it typical or not, but interested in aviation since as long as I can remember, built model airplanes, was fortunate enough to learn to fly as a teenager, was active, always interested in building, even though really didn't have the time or resources until I was out of college. And then as I was putting in 3 years as a ground pounder in the Air Force, I got involved in rebuilding a little bit and kind of developing and improving existing home-built airplane. And that led to my then design of the RV-3, which was really the first of my original designs to fly. And I was flew in here in 1972 with that, the first appearance, before we really had a marketable product yet. But there was enough interest in it then that prompted me to provide plans and some components. Kits really didn't exist at that time in the form they do now.
And do you have any formal training as far as engineering goes, or was this just as you learned as you went?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed that part of your question. My formal education, I have a degree in general engineering, more along the mechanical lines, and aeronautical is kind of a subset of mechanical. So there's a certain amount of self-taught there that kind of permitted me to expand beyond my school learning to some self-help study in the field of aircraft design and aerodynamics. So that, along with just a reasonable ability to do practical adaptation.
What was the inspiration for the RV-3? Was it something just out of the blue, or
the RV-3 was actually the result of a bit of evolution?
Okay,
in that I started out with a Stitz Playboy, which was a quite popular plans-built airplane back in the 50s and early 60s, and made modifications to that, the most significant of which was the changing to a new wing, a cantilever aluminum wing with flaps, and it made a lot of difference in the airplane, and flew that extensively for 3 years, including air show work. But at Oshkosh, well, at Rockford back then, it wasn't Oshkosh yet, some airline captain from Texas liked the airplane enough to offer me enough to talk me out of the airplane. So it was then an impetus to try and improve on what I already knew. And thus the RV-3 was similar. You'll see them both on display in the museum here, right, both right. Are the originals. You can see the definite lineage between it as far as overall configuration and platform is concerned, but just a lot of detailed refinement. So the RV-3 came out as a very good overall performance airplane. And when I showed up here in 1972, there was a lot of interest again, as I already mentioned then. Convinced me that it would be a marketable product, and always had the idea of being in aircraft manufacturing or self-employment, so that was an opportunity to do that. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history.
That is so true. You alluded to it about the difference in the home building world from 1972 and even back farther when Paul Poberizny founded EIA. It was really taking current designs and trying to tweak them, as you did with the Playboy. But when you arrived here with the RV-3, as you said, there was no it was not kit manufacturers. It was still all scratch-built, plans-built aircraft. So much different home-built community than there is today.
Definitely different because, again, initially going back to the foundation of EAA in about 1953, a lot of original design, that this, there, even though there were plans for the Playboy and the Baby Ace and a few other, a lot of the plans were pretty rudimentary. And a lot of builders would look at it and say, well, I'll just do my own that kind of looks like that. So there was a lot of that until eventually it evolved to more detailed, complete plans and more components that led to complete kits. And it's just been an improved process. Now, with the kits and stuff that are available, you can still go out and do your own, but you've got these good, known, predictable options available that you didn't have then. And it's been a very dramatic change and evolution. And you kind of, if someone has the opportunity to go back and look at the old Sportivation and prior to that Experimenter magazines, you could see what was going on then. And it's worth anybody's effort to do that, just to get a better perspective of where we've come from to where we are now, or possibly even where we're going, which may be your next question. I don't know.
Well, where are we going? What's the next evolution?
Well, as far as we, as a Vans aircraft, not even certain then. We're pretty busy right now with our mature products and the new RV15 that we just announced 54 minutes ago. We've got our work cut out for us for a while. As far as the industry, hopefully more of same. It would be nice to say that, oh man, we're going to see dramatic changes and improvements and wonderful this and that, but everything over the years has been pretty incremental. And I would kind of expect then incremental changes, maybe a little better performance and utility on the airplanes themselves, easier to build, more predictable, more quality, safer, better pilot training, just all of the things that we have learned that make it a more enjoyable, safe sport.
Definitely. Describe for us the RV15. What's new in this design?
Well, the RV15 is a totally new approach for us in that it's a high-wing airplane, backcountry capable. Backcountry capable is kind of a broad category. You can you kind of envision anything from what you'd call a Valdez short field airplane to a Cessna Caravan, and somewhere in between. You'd see the airplane, basically it's a 2+2 high wing, fairly large as a two-seat airplane would go. We've got a Lycoming IO3, 95, I'm trying to remember now what the displacement is. Anyway, 215 horsepower engine, which is kind of anticipated as the upper horsepower. We expect to have a range available, but kind of a middle of the category, not necessarily off airport, but backcountry type airplane, and probably some off airport, but you know, we're not necessarily shooting for the big rocks and long props category that that get you to places that get you in trouble. We're trying to avoid that. Again, a very practical airplane for the people that want to fly into reasonable, out-of-the-way places, do camping, fishing, whatever. Go down, look at the airplane, if you can get through the crowd. And it's been a pretty intensive effort for us to get the airplane here, but fortunately, it's there.
Well, that's great. So 50 years later, you're still designing airplanes, and you're still causing a stir at Air Venture, at Oshkosh in 72, Air Venture today, where folks are gathering around your latest invention. It is a pretty awesome legacy. And with that today, we have a very special flyby 50 of Van's aircraft are going to kind of open up the show today.
Yes.
Are you flying one of them?
No. No, and there were times in past years that I've been invited to fly yes. with groups, but I've declined because I have, while I've flown a lot of formation yeah. in past years, including air show work, I'm not current and proficient. My answer always was, you know, you guys do a, put in a lot of effort to really do it right, to remain safe. You don't want
right.
me, regardless of stature, in that group. So I'll be more than happy to watch. I've seen a photo of the practice, and you're going to want to see it. You're going to be impressed.
That's
these guys are very dedicated to, you know, proficiency and safety and yeah. what have you. So keep your eyes open.
This is going to be one of the first elements of the air show starting at 2:30 this afternoon. What does it feel like for you when you see like today's demonstration, some of the formations that we've seen over the years, or just the sheer number of RVs that you see parked here on the grounds? And you know each one of these pilots, and because you started it, you had the very first RV grin. And I don't know an RV pilot who hasn't flown that doesn't have that grin, me included. What's the feeling like when you see all that's been accomplished?
It's almost unexplainable in a way. It's been a gradual progression, so it's not like somebody just turned on a light and said, hey, gee whiz, look at this. But no, it's extremely satisfying. That's one reason I'm here rather than sitting in a rocking chair smoking a corncob pipe or whatever retired people are supposed to do. It's very exciting. I'm extremely pleased that many people have put in the effort to build our airplanes and enjoy them as the way they were intended. It's overwhelming is about the best word I can come up with, and grateful, whatever positive adjective you can come up with, part of my feeling.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you aren't sitting in a rocking chair smoking a corn cob pipe, and you continue to innovate the industry, and we'll look forward to what's in the future. Dick Van Grensven, appreciate you taking time out of this busy day to spend a few minutes with us, and good luck with the RV-15. I'm sure it is going to be a hit this week at Oshkosh.
Okay, well, thanks for inviting me up. I always enjoy the opportunity to share some of the past and some of the enthusiasm.
Excellent. This is From the Stand. That's going to wrap up our show for today. I'm Steve Buss, and this is EIA Radio.